From Simon & Schuster Audio, Permission Marketing, written and read by Seth Godin.
I wasted a lot of Harvard University's endowment, more than $6 million to be specific, and everyone around me applauded. In 1983, Spinnaker Software emerged as the best-funded software startup in history, with more than $17 million in venture money, including about $6 million from the sages at Harvard. Spinnaker set out to invent an entire genre, educational computer games for kids. As one of a handful of brand managers at Spinnaker, my job, at the tender age of 23, was to spend millions of dollars advertising our new products. Armed with millions of dollars of ad money, I ran ads in People and dozens of other magazines. We had constant discussions about how to make the move to television and, of course, found ourselves invited to attend the U.S. Open and other great advertising schmooze fests. The good news was that the advertising bought us distribution. We were picked up by Radio Shack, Leachmere, Target, and Kmart. Within a year, we were the leader in a $0 billion market. The bad news was that we had no evidence at all that our advertising was actually working. No proof that the millions of dollars we were spending were doing anything more than buying fancy cars for the commission salespeople and generating fear among our competitors. It was a great gig, but after 60 products and some great experiences, I decided to go into the book business. There, once again, I got a first-hand ringside seat at a waste jamboree, a huge bonfire of money spent with no return on traditional advertising. Giant companies were spending millions of dollars to advertise a product on the network television coverage of the Olympics. Publishers with established brand name authors had no idea which individuals were buying their books and had to start their marketing and promotions from scratch every time a new book was launched. What I had suspected at Spinnaker was proven true. Advertising wasn't working very well. It wasn't easily measured or tested. It wasn't predictable. And it was expensive. For the last 6 years, I've been a student of how companies deal with advertising and a practitioner of how they might do it with more success. I've watched with amusement as Excite ran million-dollar campaigns on Seinfeld, over-promoting a product before its time. And I've watched with despair as truly great products have disappeared because of a complete lack of promotion. In 1990, the folks at Prodigy, a company that will be remembered as being years ahead of its time, hired my colleagues and me to build a promotion for their fledgling online service. Prodigy had two significant problems. The first was that it cost them hundreds of dollars to get a new member, yet the average member was staying only a few months before quitting the service. The second was that they were charging a flat fee, but many customers were using the service so much that Prodigy was actually losing money on their very best users. Into this maelstrom, we threw Guts. Guts was one of the very first online promotions. It predated the World Wide Web by more than 4 years. And today, nearly a decade later, it's still one of the largest online promotions ever run. More than 3 million people ended up participating in this promotion. If you entered it, you were half as likely to quit Prodigy as other members who didn't. Amazingly enough, you could tell when the new weekly version of the promotion was launched on Wednesdays, because usage of the entire Prodigy network would increase measurably.